Hey, all you good hearted parents, stop peeling the skeletons and listen up. It's time for another milk and cookie filled episode of the Never Went Tonight podcast. And here are your hosts.
Hello, this is Trey, aka Asher Conzilo.
And this is Jay, aka Novinka Naroda.
Hi, this is Michelle, aka Liso.
And this is the Never Winter Nights podcast.
How's everybody doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
How's everybody doing?
Doing cool, man. Doing cool. Because now I'm not making wine. I'm drinking wine.
I'm actually a little queasy. Because I got zapped by the Shadow Priest.
Oh, is that where you are? Are you at the end of Act 1 yet?
Nope.
So you're still in Act 1?
It took me two times to kill the Shadow Priest, and then I headed back to town, and now I have a question.
Okay.
And your question is?
And my question So I finished that quest in there. I finished that quest that brought me to the Shadow Priest, and, you know, I let somebody go like you're supposed to. And I won't give any details away because we don't want to get spoilers.
Why? It's not like anybody else hasn't finished it yet.
Oh!
Is this the emissary quest that you're bringing the emissary back to Neverwinter?
Did we say she could join us tonight?
Are we apart?
Okay. But anyway, yes, I'm still playing Neverwinter Nights 2 for all of you out there who don't know that.
Me too.
And they've owned it since it was
I like
released.
It.
It's because we've got into this podcast, we've got into the community, we've been playing Worlds with other people. You know, we've kind of spread it out.
Might be nice if you finish it before the expansion's released.
Yeah, hush. That's the plan. Anyway, okay, I went back into town because I'm supposed to go see somebody after completing the last two quests that I did. And the place I'm supposed to go into, the watch, you know, the guard watch,
uh-huh.
It's locked. I can't get in.
The guard watch at the docks or in the...
Merchant place?
Merchant place. Which one?
Oh, there's two. I don't remember their names.
Yeah, because the one
so
at the docks actually...
That's what happens when you take so long to play the freaking game.
The one at the docks caught up... Remember the one in the docks got pyroed?
Caught on fire.
Oh,
and they moved
that's
everything.
Right. Oh, I remember that now.
So now they're in the
There's
merchant
the
district.
To your
okay.
Question.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Enough said.
Glad we can help.
Well, you know, when you take a year to get through that section,
okay, hey, that's enough.
Hey! Don't make.
I guess you guys could come back on
me
and say, "Well,
this.
You play it seven times."
Don't make me come through this microphone.
Just because we have a life.
Ooh. I did not say that. Novinka said that. You know we love you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, news. This is one of those like when you're a kid, you go, beep, subject change. Or was that turn the page? I think that
I'm
was turn the page. So have you guys upgraded to patch 106?
Oh, yes, I have.
Yes.
That's a little bit of old news there.
Yes, it is. It happened right after we released the last episode.
Yeah,
I looked at the news and went, darn it! They released it.
I haven't done podcasts with you guys for a little while, so I'm a little out of the loop.
You've been busy.
Yes, I have.
So were there any cool things in 106 that we need to mention?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the notes yet. That's what I was just going to go look at. I was going to see if you guys have had any issues, because... I noticed most of the UI stuff, the camera options that were had no text on them that I was having issues with before is all cleared up. I'm still having problems in the game sometimes when I go into interior areas, especially in the merchant district. It'll be real pixelated and, like, not all the colors are there. And I don't know if it's my video card or if it's the system or my settings or what it is, but it's always on interior areas. They just look like FUBAR. They're just horrible.
I've never had that problem.
Neither have I.
I think the last thing I did this week was I changed some of the camera mode stuff to linear instead of one of the other options, and now that inside area looks a lot better. So maybe it was just a graphics card setting.
Yeah. Well, I went to the link that you have here in the show notes, but all it says is 1.06 released. French language users may have a little trouble downloading the patch, but
yeah, I didn't really give any details. It was just that it was out. So after I did my dance and downloaded it,
must
I
be over
went and checked
the,
it out.
On the vault, probably is where it gives all the details.
Said several new UI customizability features. Among them, users can now set textures on UI objects via script, and users can set the state of progress bars via script. Spells that have multiple casting modes can now cast from items, like protection from evil or meteor swarm. A lot of scripting, new scripts added, placeables, some toolset functionalities added, undo and redo, work on terrain and grass and water painting, that's a big one for the toolset. Then just general bug fixes for the client side, updated UDA file, or 2DA files. So it's really not a humongous patch. Looks like they're starting to pull in some more toolset things.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have it. I noticed that one of the things I read was a post about how they've been kind of not focusing on the tool set fixes as much as they have the client. So then they're starting to turn that around a little bit, they said. Other things in the news, and I know that Bree is going to be totally stoked about this. You know, they had the contest for the mod builders that was the Grimm's Fairy Tale theme.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're having a fan art contest. Well, not we, but Obsidian is having a fan art contest.
We mean in the community.
Yeah, they're having one for the community. It'd be a lot of fun, I think. I said with the fun they had with the mod-making contest, they thought it would be good to hold a contest for the non-builders. So the best one that we could come up with would be fan art contest. So they're going to be a little longer contest than the mod-making contest was. And there will be two main categories. The first category is your favorite Neverwinter Nights 2 companion, like Kelgar, Nishka, Quara, or NPC, like Lord Nash or Wolf. The second category is your favorite creature or monster in Neverwinter Nights 2.
I can't wait to see the talent we have in the community.
Well, it's going to be cool, I think. But all art had to be two-dimensional and uploaded to the vault, and I didn't get a chance to shrinksterize any of these URLs, but I'll do that on the show notes.
Oh, hey, I just saw something over at the vault that looks interesting. It looks like they've just published a complete walkthrough for NWN2.
Maybe we should read that so we can finish the game.
That's why you just messaged me.
And it's kind of cool the way they do it. They have like a drop-down menu at the top, and so it gives you the overview, then tutorial, and then it shows you all the, and then you drop down the menu and it has all the quests. So it does it by quest. So I thought,
that sounds
that's
cool.
Kinda cool. So if
you guys have a living walkthrough, you just message me.
Exactly. Well, we got a cool listener question since the last time we were on that, we published an episode. And so I thought it would be cool if we could read that. They posted out in our forums, GM Scorch, a new user, new listener. He says, "Hello all, I just discovered your podcast and got them all queued up on my MP3 player. Was listening to episode 3, and you make a passing reference to a module called Rune. Is this Invasion of Rune? What is the latest version of it out there? Can a group of friends play it from levels 1 through 40? I am looking for a mega modules that are almost self-contained, persistent worlds / MMOGs. Running off of
MMORPG.
He just put MMOG. Running off of Neverwinter, it's one that we can try out at LAN parties or rats host on our own server on a private persistent world. I remember a few coming out a few years back and was wondering if you had any recommendations. Do you know of any in the works for NWN2? And then he goes, then he replies back a few minutes later and says, "Oops, I found out it is Rune, R-H-U-N, which is the one we had talked about back in episode 3.
Right.
And all its variants." He said he also discovered Nordok, which I think we've talked about before in other episodes. And he goes, "Wow, there are reasons to load NWN1 again on my computer and hold a LAN party." So I thought that...
We've done that too. I mean, we used the Rune module, and we'd run it on our game days, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we started out on NORDOC. We had a NORDOC server for a long time.
Yeah, but it's really easy to get mixed up in NORDOC because there are so many variations on that module.
Yeah, and I hated that freaking chicken that we came across that one time. Remember that? What was it called? The Lord...
The Ancient Chicken?
Ancient Chicken, that's what it was. It was, hey, Michelle, just to give you an idea, it was like a chicken, but it had all the
stats
of a dragon.
Yikes. I hate to see those legs eggs being laid.
And, it was so little, I was running around with one of our clan members.
Trey goes, oh, look, a chicken.
Yeah, and I walk up
Bam!
To him. We both die instantly. it was pretty funny.
It's the chicken you don't chase.
Yeah.
At first I didn't know what was attacking me because it was kind of small and you couldn't. And I didn't know where it was coming from. It was kind of weird.
It was the bringer of death.
Like a Vorpal chicken.
That was terrible.
Anyway, I replied out there to Scorch and you know, told him that we had played NORDOC and Rune. And actually, I gave him the URL to Rune's forum. It's still up if he's interested. So.
Well, I don't know if any. I know he asked if there are any out for Neverwinter Nights 2 yet, and I don't think there are any as of yet. Now, if you listen to our episode, our interview in the last episode with Robert Triffs from the DLA team, he speaks to some of the reasons that could be why they're not here yet. There's a humongous issue with the Nanny plugin for the 3D rendering to
Nanny
build your own custom
Granny. Oh.
That's the Granny plugin. Okay. The Granny plugin, there's a huge issue with that because it's a proprietary format, and it's making it hard for people to create custom content for the module. And the tool set has had some issues and bugs that they're working through them, but it's slowed the mod building community down a lot more than what you would expect.
Where's my teeth?
Like you named Granny, does that not seem disturbing to you?
Yeah, well, they didn't come up with that name. That was the people that actually, I can't remember who it is. But that's the 3D modeling tool, I believe, and that's actually what it's called.
Well, I was going to suggest Sundren is a good persistent world that was running, but I don't think it's running anymore. Especially after they kind of locked themselves down and you had to, like,
Desaria's got that nice laid-back kind of feel.
Oh, yeah, Desaria. Yeah, that's a good
one. Well, he sounds like he's looking for one he can download and run himself. The only recommendation I really would say is this. Go to the vault and look at some of their search criteria and find you an Neverwinter Nights 2 module that you can download and set up. And there's lots of single-player modules, and some of them might work as multiplayer as well, and they should be indicated if they will. I don't know if there's any out on the scale or the quality of Rune right now that are just download and throw your own server up with it and be able to host a LAN party on
it. So can
it.
You not
it should be coming in the next few months, I would think.
So can you not do that, like, say, with Desaria?
Desaria,
set up your own private server?
Not that I've seen. The only thing I've seen in Desaria is to download the hack packs and stuff that you need, or excuse me, not the hack pack, but the custom content and the PWC files to play their world.
Right.
And that's mostly what we're seeing now.
Okay, well, let's see what they have in multiplayer. Well, there's actually several here that have 10-plus players. There is Battlefield, Neverwinter Nights, Land of...
Battlefield?
Ring. Yeah, Land of Rhyme. Let's see.
What did you do a search on?
I went to Neverwinter Nights 2, and then I did a search for multiplayer plus 10 players. The Island, The Adventures of Faction Pig.
Faction Pig?
Faction Pig. Yes.
I thought you said Affection Pig. Pick. And I was like, what?
Affection.
Okay.
Two words.
Are you calling me a pig?
If the shoe fits.
Are you paranoid?
Is his name Trey?
Hey. Don't say my real name.
Anyways,
she said it at the beginning of the show.
Really? No, he spells it differently at the beginning of the show.
Oh, which is, can be only told by the pronunciation. That's Trey versus fray.
Anyway, there's about six or seven of them here with plus ten players.
Why is everybody always picking on me?
Multiplayer 5 to 10. There's three of them here. The Sunset Island, Twilight Zone, Unholy PvP Arena. 1 to 4 players, depending upon how many people he wants to have a party with. The Hero Displaced, Private Cards, Mystery of Ariel, Rise to Power. Oh, well, there's several. But there's several multiplayer ones here.
Like I said, go to the vault, run a search, find your module.
Yeah, just click Neverwinter Nights 2 on your left-hand side in the column. Go down to Modules, English, or whichever language you want, and do a search. There's a search drop-down bar.
Well, I just clicked on top 10 NWN2 Game Worlds.
Well, Game Worlds are the,
ones that you can't set
persistent
up
worlds.
Okay, so yeah, Dissaria is a game world that's in that
realm.
So the game worlds are, just so I understand.
They want multiplayer.
I see. So the game worlds are the ones you cannot set up with a personal server.
Right, but you can with the multiplayer.
Okay. If y'all remember us talking about, we had our Galesburg-hosted DM event that came out of our podcast contest that we had
several
many weeks ago.
Yep.
But we held that on June 9th. That was very fun. So this week we opened up a Skype session to discuss the event. And so we had all of our winners, or everybody that played. I guess all of them weren't our winners. A few of them were. And so we got on to the Galesburg server on June 9th, and Convene led us on a 3.5-hour adventure into the world of Galesburg. So joining us tonight is, of course, Convene, Dungeon Master Extraordinaire. He is the founder and lead creator of the Galesburg Persistent World over at ShadowThieves.net.
Also joining us was Halloween Foxy, who played the character Enria Weatherlight, who seems to like the five-finger discounts. Actually, she is listening. She was listening and typing a chat, so Pixie was her proxy for her voice. So don't get confused. It really wasn't her.
Yeah, the voice talking. You hear is actually Pixie.
Right.
Speaking Foxy's responses. Pixie is another one of our listeners and will be joining us in upcoming Galesburg events. So sit back and eavesdrop as we talk about our first adventure in Galesburg. So did anybody get a chance to read the post that I put out on Shadow Thieves forums about the event? Our adventures?
No. Did you do like a quest log?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Kavine. I read it. It was really good.
I got some XP for it, too.
funny thing about that is, as a DM, you think you guys are going to see certain things and you're going to recognize certain things and interpret the session differently than you actually do, so... It's good to hear what the players are seeing, and then the DM can kind of adjust the sessions to meet what you guys think you're seeing.
If y'all want to hop onto the podcast forum, I put a link in there to that post that I put over on Galesburg.
Hopping away.
If y'all want to check it out, I'm curious to see if I got my story correct or incorrect in some areas based on what y'all remember. But I just want to start out by saying, though, that Kavine, I thought it was an excellent event. It was very fun, well thought out. And I guess at the end you were telling us that we only, like, scratched 10% of the story.
Yeah, that's about right. That's typical for a role-playing session. The DMs to over-prepare with a lot of story just in case. But it's always up to the players to decide, you know, how far are you going to go and what kind of decisions are you going to make? And I kind of like to just let you guys do what you want to do. Uh-huh. So you may not go down the path that I thought you would, but as long as you have fun, that's what's important.
Oh, but the story so far is pretty cool.
Yeah. I thought we started out a little bit slow, and, you know, and then I realized, oh, yeah, we got to get to know each other before we can party up and take off with it.
Holy cow, Trey, you wrote a book.
Yeah, I did.
It was excellent.
Well, I just wish I could have stayed longer because I was... We had just gotten past that awkwardness of the, and which I'm sure has happened every time you get a new group of people together to play, that you kind of have just a little bit of time where you're just feeling each other out and seeing kind of how do they play, how do I fit, how am I going to fit in the group, what's my role, what's my story, you know, and we just kind of just started getting into everything, and then I had to leave, so I felt really bad about it because it was like, it was going to get better from that point on.
But it was kind of cool what Kaveen did with your character after you left.
And I want to know how they did that.
Did you hear the news yet?
Yeah, he
I
knows.
Haven't think I've heard the full story, but I've heard the end result.
All right.
And
actually,
I'm sorry,
it was a pretty normal start. You know, I'm with D&D for ages, and the beginning is always pretty slow. What I really liked is that the fights are kind of going pretty fast, and my character is called Inria.
Inria. We pronounced it wrong in the last podcast episode, didn't we?
Yeah.
They get everybody's name wrong the first time. Don't worry.
Hey.
Why do you think
it's our trademark.
Why do you think my name only has three letters in it?
Yeah.
And mine only has four. Yeah, but you know, some of these names that people use, you know, in role-playing and in games... You know, some of them are pretty tough to say. Even if you're not from the backwoods of Arkansas.
That's true, but you did get my city name right. At least.
Now, I will say, when I was typing out that story over on Kaveen's forum, I was saying, every time I typed your name, Foxy, I said in my mind, Inria. I promise I did.
Yeah, I pronounce it so that the way that I think it looks, so I can remember how to spell it.
Yep. I guess for something
that's not always right.
For some reason, I was thinking it was IR instead of IN when we were during the podcast the other night. And I wrote that story after we did the podcast.
I also can't say Robert Thrifts. It's either Thrift or Thrifts, not Thrifts.
Anyway, I didn't like it. I didn't like how Inria stole my rose. I might have to get that back.
She actually earned some XP for that. You guys don't know about it.
Yeah.
Well, she was stealing stuff left and right.
We did see her take the cloak.
Yeah, but
at
we
least
found
I
up,
did.
I was going to call her on that later, but we wound up in the slave wagon instead.
I also got XP for messing up the quest, too.
Yep.
But, you know, a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
That's the flexibility of a role-playing session, is anything goes.
Yep.
And you did it well. I think Trey and I were talking days later saying that we feel like, Foxy, you were probably the most experienced and most comfortable role player out of the group that we were there, especially between me and Trey, because we're just noobs when it comes to role playing.
Well, I think Eric O's been doing it for a while, and he played his dwarf really well. He was putting away the ale, wasn't he?
Yep. Trey keeps going. Trey and I were on Skype talking to each other for the part of this, but not about quests, just about characters and what you guys were doing and kind of figuring out what's going on in the background. And he's like, "You sure it's quiet?" And I go, "Well, it's in character for a dwarf."
I mean, you guys just lack the pen and pencil, pencil and paper role playing. That's all.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's just a small piece.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really glad I had originally invited you, Astrakhan, when we first met at that chat session on the NWN2 community representatives forum. Because I really wanted you all to see and kind of talk in your podcast about, you know, how fun a role-playing session can be. And most people who play Neverwinter Nights don't actually get into role-playing or Persistent Worlds. I mean, that's kind of just the way it is. But it's so fun, and it's so rich of an experience. It goes so far beyond just the single-player game that I wish everyone could experience it.
Yeah, at least once.
I completely agree. Even today, we have a traditional Thursday lunch with some buddies that we work with, and several of them are WoW players. And they were asking us, what's the difference between WoW and Neverwinter Nights? And we're like, well, there's more facets to Neverwinter Nights than there is to WoW. It's not just leveling and
hack and
rushing
slash
through and hack and slashing. It's that, well, you can do that for sure. You can do PvP, sure. I said, but the difference is when you get into persistent worlds, role-playing sessions, which are just games that spontaneously happen that are more like your pencil and paper D&D, and then you've got what I'm calling the kind of hybrid that we're seeing coming out with Neverwinter Nights 2, which probably existed in Neverwinter Nights 1. I just not been exposed to it, which is the, you know, like the Gallowsburg or Sundren or Desaria or Desaria, however you spell it. We'll say it wrong and then they'll incorrect us. But there's enough NPC-led quests to keep you going when there's not DMs there, but then when there's DM events and the role-playing that goes on shapes the whole world. I said, you're not doing that in WoW. You're just playing through the quest. And I thought that was really interesting, but it's exactly like you said. It's a much richer experiences on multiple levels.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've slipped into the Gallows Bird World a few times, and, you know, the world is just crazy. You can steal anything that's not nailed to the ground, and, you know, you can get caught. But, you know, I played it for about 2 hours today just to get to know the city and all that, and I still freaking get lost in it.
did you get caught?
Maybe.
That's what I thought.
Well, the first time I think Trey and I played Sundren right after it came up, and we were running a few quests, and came out and came back into town. We forgot to put our weapons away.
Oh dear.
And the city guard comes over and just reads us the riot act.
I thought he was going to pull out his sword and kill us there for a second.
Like, oops. But that's the kind of stuff you don't always get in all these other just completely script-based games, like WoW.
So, Foxy, what was your favorite part of the role-playing the other night?
Definitely stealing your rose in the cloak, I think.
Now, I can't remember. What were you playing? Are you playing a rogue?
You think?
Well,
no, she was a bard.
I thought she, yeah, that's yeah, right. She was a bard. That's right.
Yeah, it's a bard. But, you know, roguish tendencies. Do you remember the singing?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And the stalker. You remember the stalker.
Yeah, the mystery man. Isn't that what you call it, Kaveen? He was the mystery man.
Yeah, I just named him a man so you guys wouldn't know what he was about until he actually had some actions to do. And one of the things you guys can't really see in the session, but I had provided Foxy with a book, with a picture of part of that book that this man had given to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of his journal. It was kind of his journal of her life with him, and it was kind of his fantasy of that life. So you guys should probably take a look at that picture. It's online. You can actually see it.
Oh, can you?
Very cool. Yeah, I picked up on it. That's...
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Trey.
I was just going to ask, where can we see that? On the.
We'll give you a link.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I actually loved the part with the stalker. I'll make a screenshot of it. And, you know, just give me a moment.
You were going to say something, Jay?
I don't know what it was now. It's okay.
Sorry.
Sorry, dude.
No, it's all right. I'll just keep singing my song.
Oh. But I'm kind of curious as to where that part of the story is going to go and what that dude's all about. I think he had something to do with those guys that came in and...
You think he turned us into the slave traders?
I think he turned us into the slave traders, or whatever they were. We don't know who they are yet, do we?
No. I don't. Of course, no. I don't know if it was to carry on what... My character is completely dead now, is he not?
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions for Kaveen, was, okay, how are we going to work Jay back into the story since he's basically, his character's dead?
Well,
I killed him, actually.
Navink is not dead. Fino's
right.
dead.
That's right. Fino's dead. That's
right.
That's I was hoping that's how we could work it.
Yeah.
That's what I said. We could bring a new character in.
Yeah.
That doesn't die, hopefully. I was also curious as to when I logged out, did you, how you guys kind of usurped my character, or was it a new character played by the DM, or how does that work? Did I get logged out completely and you guys had to create a new one real quick, or how did that?
We actually have a script trick in our persistent world that every PC is a copy is made of every PC and it's stored in our DM area. So if a player has to leave unexpectedly, we can take those copies and use them as NPCs to continue.
Very cool.
That is sneaky.
I knew you guys had to have some trick there. I don't want to go on that.
That's awesome. That's excellent.
That's pretty cool.
Tell us a little bit about the reputation engine that's there on the Galesburg, Kaveen. How does that work?
Yeah, that's probably one of our best features. It took us a long time to do, and it's a ton of scripting put that together.
Oh, I bet.
It's a system where your reputation in the world spreads among the population. So, since it's such a large city, the city of Manorus, you have anything you do, a lot of people are going to hear about it, especially if you do it a lot or you do it well. So we have things for reputation such as being a criminal, reputation for faith, if you're known to have a lot of faith, or if you're known to be a pickpocket or an assassin. There's about 15 different reputations that you can build up. Some of them through quests, some of them through DMs can give you those, and your reputation can grow or shrink the better you do at these things. And then everyone in the world gets to see what your reputation is, because the world, in this world, your reputation has spread. So any other PC can see your reputation, or any NPC knows your reputation, and that may affect the kind of quests that they'll give you, and especially the kind of quests that DMs might give you.
It's kind of a gossip network.
Yeah, it's true. I've got a reputation of man among one of the factions, and the guards always look at me oddly.
That's the Commonwealth faction reputation, which means that's how much you've been caught in the act of committing crimes. You can commit crimes and not get any reputation, but if you get caught or somebody sees you or you kill somebody and leave evidence, the guards will start to recognize you, and at a certain level they'll attack and put you in jail.
Yeah.
She says, whoops.
You can pay bounty hunters to reduce your reputation. It'll cost you money, but you can do that.
So you accomplished all this in just 2 hours?
Well, you know.
So now I'm curious to see what kind of reputation I have now. I actually haven't been back on the Galesburg since we finished our event. So I might have to get back on there tonight and see what my reputation is now. So, Kaveen, based on some of the actions that we performed during the role-playing, that changed our reputation or added to it or took away from it?
Well, we'll have to see. I think most of what you did didn't really happen in the city of Manorus, and I'm not sure a lot of people know a lot of what you did. So it all goes toward, does anybody know that you did this?
I see.
We'd have to see. So maybe if you end up saving the city from the terrible torrents that are coming, hint, hint.
Don't give too much away.
Right, exactly. Then you might get some hero reputation or something like that. We'll see how that works out.
Well, I'm sure once we get, you know, come back together in the end there where we ended up, everyone will tell the story of my heroism and strength, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but smell's not everything.
Easy.
I mean, there's lots of interesting features, like you can go to a tavern and ask who was around lately, and if you bribe the person, it gives you a rough estimation of how much is in that special player's money pouch, which is quite cool if you're into that kind of thing.
As a person that plays paladins and clerics, of course I am not.
I usually am only looking for treasure, you know, as a fighter. So. Be careful of stealing from me.
Because he's like he has dwarf tendencies. He's quick to fight.
Yeah, I guess I am. But I thought that was kind of cool, though, that, you know, how the man, yeah, the stalker dude. I thought that was kind of cool how, you know, I wanted him to leave, and he kind of tried to turn the tables on us. And then... I actually wanted to kill him, but...
That scene was very well crafted. I mean, that part of it was very well done.
I was kind of...
I was scrambling, trying my head, thinking as fast as I can, what should I do, how should I act, what am I going to do here, and they were three steps ahead of us almost the whole time.
I was actually restraining myself.
I was getting short-circuited between my head and my hands on the keyboard.
Yeah. And, you know, and then being a little, I'm still kind of new at this role-playing, so I hope we did well enough.
I think you guys all did great.
I still thought it was funny when Foxy called you for calling her by name when she hadn't introduced herself.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, crap! That's right.
You know, you get used to it. But, I mean, I must say, that scene was by far the most interesting scene I've ever gotten in the beginning of a D&D session, Kaveen.
She was like, how did you know my name? And I'm like, oh, crap, that's right, I don't know her name.
Yeah, she did it so well. Like, do we know each other?
So I started fumbling around trying to think of something to say.
No, you're the stalker.
Oh, that's funny. So was that stalker part of the planned part of the planned event that you had, Kaveen, for us?
Yeah, it actually was, and it kind of tied into some of the pre-session materials that I provided out to Foxy.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, definitely was part of the plan, and it's not finished if we go to future sessions.
Well, I definitely, since I didn't get to, I had to cut out so early, I'm definitely in game for continuing it on, because I...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just like you were saying earlier, I'm jazzed by this facet of Neverwinter Nights' gameplay because it's just so rich and so dynamic, which is what you're not going to get in any other game system out there.
Well, that was actually one of the things I wanted to try to discuss tonight was if y'all want to continue this as a scheduled event, maybe we can try to pick a time that will better work for everyone because I think right now for Pixie and Foxy, it's like 2 in the morning there?
Yeah, well, it's 20 to 2 here. I think it's a bit later there. So, yeah.
So I guess I'll throw that up for discussion. If y'all want to keep doing this, I guess Saturdays would probably be the best for everybody, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, either Saturday or Sunday for me.
And maybe we can just start a standing schedule, and I guess whoever can show up shows up, and if you can't and you have other things to do, then I guess you get caught up to the forums, and if everybody kind of keeps up with that, we could do it that way. I don't know. What do you suggest, Kaveen?
I think this also brings up an opportunity for others to join the group, some others maybe that wanted to join the first time but couldn't make it.
Exactly.
Yep. Or even invite others to the group as well. And so we could maybe have, if not everybody can make it, maybe one or two people can't make it, we could still go ahead and have a session anyway.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, either Friday or Saturday would be great.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to get... Now, I have the character on the Gallowsbird server. Is that what we connected to when we played that session, or was it a private server that you had set up?
That was the Gallowsbird server that ShadowThieves.net. It's 24/7, so you could play it at any time.
Okay, so we just did a direct connect by IP on that. So I have Navinka as a character already created in Gallowsbird. I could play him next time.
Yes.
So Jay, did you actually hear the full story of what happened to your character after you left?
I've heard it bits and pieces from other people. I'd like to hear if you guys want to go through kind of what the session was, if we can do that without giving away too much. I think that would be great. I'd love to hear what happened after I left and even what people's interpretations of what was happening while I was there, because I know we all probably had different viewpoints on where things were going.
I'd like to hear Kaveen's point of view, since he was the DM.
Well, my point of view, I can't tell you all the secrets because I have to keep you guessing, but I can tell you one thing. I'll give you one hint. The goblins and the hobgoblins, when they had their conversation,
mm-hmm.
I don't recall you guys really catching on to what they were saying, but it was very important. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, they were talking about laying an ambush for something. Do you remember, Foxy?
I do suspect that the whole goblinoid thing is a huge background thing that is going to influence it a lot, but not really sure how at the moment.
Hmm. Yeah, they seem too organized.
Yeah.
Or that I was in there.
I don't know if you noticed they were speaking common instead of whatever right. else they speak, so that's unusual for a goblin.
Oh.
Also, they wanted to go into the city and meet up with some dark lady of sorts.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or invade it. So, yeah, I think we should keep our eyes on them. Definitely.
Well, they're all dead, so you can't keep your eye on them, but... if you still have the chat log, I would go reread that if you could. I think Eric was going to keep a copy.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. So I don't know that I kept a copy of the chat log. Unless it just automatically creates one, does it?
Yes.
Okay. On our local machine?
Yeah, but until you start another session, it will delete it.
Ooh, okay. That's good to know. I didn't actually know that.
I can give you some links. You can put them in your forums.
Okay. Cool. Anyway, after you left, it was kind of like you were asleep back there. Your character was still there, which I thought that was kind of curious. I was wondering how they were doing that, and now we know. But anyway, I freed everybody from their shackles, and then we decided that we were going to bust down the door, and we actually tried to see if the goblins would... you know, align up with us just to get out of the wagon, but they wouldn't have anything to do with us.
Well, how did you bust your... I thought that was interesting. You were telling me how you actually got the shackles.
I was rolling my strength dice. Or I was rolling die for strength ability.
Using the DMFI tool?
Yes. Yes.
Kaveen, how do you guys do that as a, from a DM standpoint? Do you do a roll yourself and see if... one, the other person is greater or lesser than that role? How does that work?
Sometimes it really depends on the situation. I think if it's kind of a defined action that you're taking, we can just pick either a skill or an ability and use that. If it's something where you're kind of going against someone else, like it's your PC going against an NPC, we may need an opposed role, so I would make that role behind the scenes. Let you make your roll, and then I would compare that and let you know what happens. And it's always up to you.
Is that how you guys did this thing for your strengths there?
Yeah, he was actually just rolling his dice with a strength check, and I was comparing that to what I had preset behind the scenes as what the threshold was to break free.
Okay.
And it took me a while to break mine. Now, when I freed the others, it only took one or two rolls. And so then we decided that we were going to bust down the door.
We didn't actually bust down the door. The goblins opened it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they had a key.
Oh, I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I started shooting them with my crossbow.
Did you notice the goblins also were not shackled down?
Yeah.
Ah. Are people who captured us?
I think the thugs captured you.
Interesting. Okay. Obviously, you can't tell us anymore. Anyway, Jay, I guess I didn't realize that they unlocked the door. I thought I'd busted it down. Anyway, we went in there and we started fighting the goblins, and then all of a sudden your character started attacking Inrina from behind. And we're like, what the crap? What's going on? And so I had to put you down.
So what was the reason that you were being attacked by my character at the time, I wonder? Did you guys figure that out?
Well, we think that you didn't like the way we were treating the goblins, and that we were going to kill them to get out, to get through them, is what I thought, because you were a do-gooder from the Order of the Helm. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I thought.
I think that's all the information you're going to get. He's dead, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. So we then proceeded. We got out of the wagons, and we know there were four or five other wagons. And we looked in two of the, I think two of the wagons had more goblins in there, in them. And we killed all of them because they started attacking us. We opened up two other wagons, and one wagon had a bunch of halflings in it who were slaves. And we freed them. And the other, the last wagon had, men and women, humans, slaves in it. And they were all very grateful that we had freed them. So maybe they'll go back and tell others that we freed them and our reputation will go up.
Yes, and we'll go up in the cities that they're from.
And so we weren't sure where we were. We knew we were outside of a big city. And then when we went in through the city gate, we were in Manaris. Did I say that right?
Manaris.
Manaris. We were in Manaris.
Womanus is the next coastal plain.
And one of the guards, as soon as we walked in, one of the guards recognized me. And I thought that was curious. And so I had to kind of role play that a little bit. Did I do okay, Kaveen?
Yeah, you did great.
And Foxy started dancing for him.
Imagine that.
Anyway, we showed him your cloak because Enria was wearing one of your cloaks by now. She wouldn't hide it anymore. She had put it on after you died. I thought also something else that was curious, Kaveen, was the other guard. He didn't like the first guard talking to us. I did notice that.
I think that's probably just different personalities of different guards around the city or any of the kind of NPCs you might meet. You know, they're going to have different ways they want to be.
And basically the first guard told him to shut up and get back to his post.
Hey, can I just point out that I didn't actually dance? You wanted
didn't?
Me to, but I wasn't biting
right.
that bait.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Also, back to the goblins. I think that when you left, you weren't part of our party anymore. But when you returned, you automatically joined the party of the goblins by default. And so when I attacked the goblins, you automatically had me as an opponent, possibly. So it was an accidental mistake, I guess.
I'm not going to comment on that. I think he was unhappy with the goblins. Yeah, that's actually what ended up happening was the copy, like I said, we stripped the copies of all the PCs, and the one that was there, it was the same faction as the goblins. I mean, non-hostile.
Right.
So when you attacked the goblins, you were essentially attacking him, and he had to attack.
Oh,
but, you know, it's better to leave it with the story.
Well, and it fits for him being his class that he was, you know, from where he was coming and the character that he was. To be an eccentrically upset about something like that would make sense.
Right.
That's great.
Good old Finn.
But that's awesome, though, how it kind of worked into the story, and I thought it was something else.
Those are the secrets that you guys aren't supposed to catch. The other thing is you thought there were a bunch of DMs. It was just me. Just
yeah,
one DM.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I went through the DMFI 101 module. I know you can act like 50, and you just don't know how many's there or not, or if there's just one, because that tool is very powerful.
Well, you thought there were more than one, didn't you, Jay?
I thought it possibly could be. I just don't know. That's part of my problem when I'm doing a role-playing session. I'm so technically minded, I'm not just thinking about what I'm doing. I'm thinking about what the DM's doing. And I'm trying not to do that because I know I pigeonhole myself and I make bad decisions or bad choices because of that. Mm-hmm. But being a programmer and being a person that likes to know process and all that kind of stuff and being interested in it.
You're a geek.
Yeah, I am. And proud of it, by golly. But I'm always trying to analyze what's going on the other side just because I've played with the DM, you know, the DM client. And I'm like, how he did that? How did they do this? It's a bad habit. I got to break it. Or is that
speaking
become a DM, I guess.
Speaking of which, Kaveen, did you do that high priest who kept trying to convert me to become a Hell Knight? I mean,
that
was pretty fun. It could have gone on for a while, but some fighter dragged me away.
Well, I thought you were going to kill him.
It did cross my mind.
There's no telling what would have came out of the back there and attacked us. That was kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
So after we talked to the guards, we got the guard to actually tell us where what order you belong to, because we didn't actually know until we had somebody check out those cloaks. And
right.
He said, that looks like a cloak of the helm. And he told us how to get to your temple. And so we went there, and I lied to the priest and told him that you died heroically trying to save the cloaks from the goblins, which is kind of ironic now that we know a little bit more about the goblins.
Is that about as far as you guys got?
That's as far as we got. And then he tried to convert.
So when the story continues, whoever you recruit into the party, we still got 3 or 4 different things or goals that you guys have still to complete and whatever might happen on the way.
Yeah, and before we do the next one, you need to get Kaveen to send you your story for Novinka. Because did you ever get that?
I actually never got Jay's backstory.
Yeah. My fault.
So I think whatever special quests or things you get before the session would be based off of that. So.
Okay.
I will have to get some friends I know to help me with a backstory for that one.
And we then found another inn there in, I can't remember what district we were in. Do you remember, Foxy?
Yeah.
You were at the Deaf Dragon Tavern in the Sanctum Ward.
Dragon.
There you go.
And so that's where we ended up. So that's where we're at right now, is that Dragon Inn. I'm sure Foxy's dancing for somebody.
Surely not. Well, maybe to steal their coin purse or something.
Well, I think the event went off much better than the contest to get into the event.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Yep.
So, and I want to say a humongous thank you for you, Kaveen, and Galesbird, and what you're doing with that world to allow us to bring that contest to you guys. It's been a blast, and I can't wait to finish the rest of this, continue on. I think I'm definitely hooked on this kind of gameplay.
Yeah, same here.
It's my pleasure.
Okay, so with that, I'll try to start a regular scheduled event. And we'll set it up for Saturdays. Was the 11 o'clock Central time okay for everybody, or should we go a little bit earlier than that?
Earlier is fine with me.
Okay.
If you want to go earlier, if it helps with our friends across the pond.
So if we got started at, like, say, 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, does that work for you, Kaveen? And then that would probably be about, 10 p.m. your time, Foxy?
8 a.m. would be 2 p.m. their time, I think.
Oh, 2
p.m. At least GMT.
2 p.m., right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's fine, but, it could probably be a bit later if it would be more convenient for you guys.
I'll be good for anywhere from, 8 to 11.
Okay. All right, cool.
This I thought was very interesting, and it's probably because of my ignorance to and just newness to this kind of session. How long did this session last again?
Wasn't it about 3 or 4 hours?
Yeah, it was about...
Somewhere in between?
I think it was a little over 3 hours.
Okay.
Which I understand is not untypical for a session like this. But
yeah, it was 3 hours and 36 minutes. I used a stopwatch.
Good grief. Okay, so Pixie, are you gonna join? Are you gonna join in and play with us next time, as well?
Yeah.
Cool. So, what kind of character would you play?
would you have in well, mind? Well, you'll have to wait and see, won't you?
Oh, yeah. Nice, I like it. Feisty. I like
that. Perhaps a succubus or something.
Perhaps a what?
Succubus.
A succubus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It would make it interesting.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
So, you should probably put together a backstory and try to get that to Kavine as well.
Well, I need to put another one together as well. I can tell you I will not be playing a cleric.
Well, here's the thing about the role-playing sessions. You can play any character you want. You don't always have to worry about the combat and, you know, how's the group going to complement each other.
Right.
You can play whatever you want to play with any kind of history that you want.
Okay. Well, anything else you want to add, Kavine, or anything else you want to talk about?
I just thought it was a great session. I'm glad to have you guys there.
All right. Foxy, anything else you want to say? It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I had a great time. I loved it.
Okay, cool.
Okay, yep. So keep your eyes on your emails for invitations, or are we going to just open it up?
I don't know. How would you like to do it, Kavine? Do you want to schedule it on NWC, or would you like me to do that? Or usually the DM is the person who schedules those kind of things on NWC, right?
Yeah, first I think we probably need to figure out who the people are that are going to be on it and make sure they all agree with our time frame, and then
okay.
I'll be happy to schedule it at that point.
Okay, we'll just do that.
Then
we'll
can send invitations to those and open it up to fill whatever slots you want to make a good group, right?
Right.
Cool. All right, well, hey, I guess I want to thank everybody for stopping by tonight, and so until we get the event scheduled, I guess we'll see you then. Dude, I was doing the statistics this past week.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
totally.
Something has happened in June. Our downloads jumped for every episode to over 500 downloads per episode.
After you mentioned that, I went and looked, and it just blew me away that on average we're about 1,000 downloads for each episode now.
Yeah, and that's been several days ago when I looked.
Jay sent me a message, and I went and went looked.
Yeah.
Angel, well, two friends.
The sixth, was it the...
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind.
And over,
moving right along.
And over at gamesite200.com, we broke into the top 10.
For Neverwinter Nights sites?
No, for all games. Game sites. The top 200 game sites.
Oh, right here.
No, it says category Neverwinter Nights.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. And it also says that we have been as high as number 9. So that's kind of cool.
Sweet.
I think as we speak, or as this is being recorded, we're at number 11. But anyway.
So talking about other interesting facts, since we're talking about statistics about the show, and we talk about these things, I'm not bragging about us. I'm bragging about the community, because I think
exactly.
It's great that you guys are getting involved and that we're actually have done something that y'all are enjoying. So I love it. So I don't think it's bragging about us. I want to think it's bragging about you guys and helping us be involved.
Excellent.
One of the things I noticed was that since May 1st, we have had 35 new users register on our website.
Very cool.
So that to me is very cool. Because you think only a small portion of our listeners are going to post in the forums or send us some feedback or make a comment. And that's what you have to register on our site to be able to do that. So there's been enough people do that we've had 35 new user registrations in a month and a half.
Wow.
So
it had nothing to do with the auctioning date off with Jay and Trey either.
You did that?
Oh, no.
The what?
You auctioned a date off with us?
You didn't see the billboard outside your house?
No.
It's the wine.
Was that an in-game billboard?
Yes, of course.
So I want to thank everybody for your support and continue to listen to us, because, yeah, we've took a humongous jump in downloads. It seems to be growing exponentially. There for a while, we were hitting 300 to 400 downloads real quick, and then it would take us a while, and we'd get a little higher. And now we're hitting that real quick right out of the gate. And it took us forever to get to 10,000 downloads. 20 came really fast. 35 came even faster.
Yep. Well, as you know, I've been watching the statistics because I load them onto the site so everybody can see them.
I knew that.
And usually per month, most of the episodes, except for those ones where we did the character creations and went through some of the guides.
Yeah, those have been real popular. We need to redo those. We need to pick those up too and finish those.
The other ones besides those, we'd be lucky if they hit 50 or 60 for a whole month. But all of a sudden, in June though, everything's jumped up over 500. So it's kind of that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's great.
AstroCon bows to the community.
Happy. No doubt, I'm with you there.
Same here.
So I guess next episode, we really don't have a plan. We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants, and we're going to be. This is next 2 weeks are our interview crunch week, so we got to get some interviews done. So guys, want to hang in there with us and figure out what's coming up next? Because we don't know either.
Well, hopefully we're going to have another interview with another person from DLA. I hope. Cross your fingers.
Well, I've got one that I'm working on with the PRC. The wine's hitting me. The Players Resource Consortium. And I've been trying to work up the questions for them. And if you guys hear this episode, I apologize. I haven't got those to you yet. But there's so much stuff this team has done. I've been reading. There's articles they put out.
How much have they done?
A lot. I mean, the big thing that seemed like launch them was Psionics and Neverwinter Nights 1, and I think I'm going to hear some questions about that. But I was overwhelmed and just thoroughly awed by the amount of content that this team has cranked out. So it should be a good interview if I can just pick some good questions out of it. And even if I don't get some good questions, I think the information that those guys are giving us will be really good. Cool.
Thanks for listening. If you have questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show at neverwinternightspodcast.com.
Send them to Michelle.
You should send them to show.
Oh, sorry.
No more drinking for you on podcasts.
Thanks for listening. And if you have any questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show at neverwinternightspodcast.com. Or you can post them to our forums on the website located at, once again, neverwinternightspodcast.com or nwmpodcast.com, whichever you choose.
The short version. Right?
That's right. The shrinkster version.
Well, that's it for this episode. Until next time.
Level up.
Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up.
'The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, or their partners and employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, which is solely responsible for its content.
I think that's about it. We're now going to do the introduction for our Galsbird event discussion.
Yeah, I wasn't there for that.
Yeah.
Trey this week.
This week we opened up a Skype.
Is that a new feature on Skype?
Beepity-beepity, that's all, folks.
That must be on the upgraded version, because I don't think I have that. What does that do?
You need the translator for that.
Okay, shut up.
Do you run out the Babelfish?
Shut up.
Oh, shut up even.
Okay, this week we opened the Skype. Okay, see, now you all got me. And now I got to go pee.
This week, Trey has to pee.
But only this week.
Tune in next week.
We've done it out.
They're so bad.
The next Never Win Rights podcast, Trey does number two.
Okay, be serious.
Oh, shoot. I'm blaming it on Jay's wine.
Yeah, but you didn't drink any.
By association.
Okay. All right. We... This week... Don't quit it.
It's Jay's wine.
Mute your mic if you're going to keep laughing. Okay. Are we ready? Okay.
Okay, you guys are making my eyes water.
Okay, 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 okay.